22nd chapter of Proverbs. And it speaks here in verse 3 of a prudent man. He's looking ahead and he sees evil on its rise. And what does he do? A prudent man hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Would you bow with me as we together seek the blessed Lord Jesus and our Father? Heavenly Father, much grace has been bestowed upon each of us. We this day are still living physically. We have not yet been brought into eternity. And because of this, great responsibilities lie upon us. Do we know thee? Is our heart fully devoted? Or do we have strange loves? Our Father, if it's pleasing, bring each of us into that divine reality of I am in the presence of the Holy One. And only through His Son can I be accepted. Only by the work of the Spirit shall I be made holy. And without that, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What is holiness? Do I honestly want to know? Do I seek after that? Do I strive to walk pleasing unto thee, the one that has done so much? My Father, help us to be honest with ourselves. And I pray that you might instruct. And if there be those that are what the Scripture calls simple, that just they just go and do without any thought of the consequences or what awaits. Awaken the sleeping virgins, Father. Give us the Spirit of God that He might be our help in preaching, in understanding, and that He might lead us to that pure fountain, the one that we ought to visit quite often, there find a refreshing, a renewing of our hearts. Lord, give wisdom to set before these that which will benefit them not only now, but in the days ahead and throughout life. And direct us, we pray, and leave us not to ourselves, Father. For there's not a lonelier place in all the world than behind a pulpit without thee and divine help. And there is no place that these could be benefited without divine help. Glorify the blessed Lord Jesus. And may thy name be exalted in the hearts of your children. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth, looks around the corner, looks down the road. He sees the evil, and he does the one thing that is needful to protect himself. He hides. But the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27:12, the exact verse as read here. I suppose God would have us pay attention to this and that we would run across it again when we read it here. A prudent man is a crafty man. A sensible man, he is a subtle man. Same word. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That's a prudent man. Jacob was crafty. But the serpent and Jacob were that way in a bad sense. The child of God, the prudent man, he's very sensible of what is going on all around him. And he looks well to his going. To his next step. Where will I be this time tomorrow? How will I get there? The simple, those inherit folly, and the prudent shall be crowned in that day. Crown the prudent man, crowned with knowledge here. Knowledge throughout life, as long as he stays in this frame of mind and heart. Never will a simple man or woman stop to consider what lies ahead. This man sees and hides himself. Hides is the verb form of a noun used in Proverbs, in the Song of Solomon 2:14, O my dove in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret, same word, noun form of a prudent man hiding. He'll hide in the only place And the Lord Jesus saw his love, his beloved, there in the hidden or secret places of the stairs. A wise individual watches the movement of the wicked, and he watches the signs of the time. The simple man in which our land now is filled with, they just very foolishly keep on. If they see danger, it does not frighten them. It will never happen to them. And tomorrow will be the same as today. They're going to get all this straightened out. Folk, in a lot of ways, animals have more sense than most people. Isaiah 1:3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Israel doth not know, my people do not consider. Ox is smarter than that mule out there in the barn, smarter than those in the Old Testament and now in the New that claim relationship to God. The erotic behavior of animals has been used successfully to predict earthquakes. Been used for many, many years now. Birds will evacuate before a major storm. And animals are so perceptive of minute changes in the barometer, pressure, and the seasons of the year. Before there's ever a drop in temperature here, you might see birds, those migrating from the north, going further south. My people, they don't know. They don't consider. Folk, even the daisies out there will close their little petals during the daytime ahead of a rain. Simple man just goes head first. I worry about it when I get in it. Prudent man stops and he thinks and he evaluates. In many ways, the cell phones have been, and the computers, they have been very useful to all of us. But they also are doing us a great harm in many ways. The generation twice below me won't be able to spell. They won't be able to rightly punctuate a sentence. We say that's not important to us. I think it's pretty important to you folks. They do not have to think about what's happening around me. They can get on an app. Even if they're considering, well, I need to plant tomorrow. And they'll get on there and they'll see. And I remember some of the signs that the farmers of the last generation that did not have a cell phone depended on. We plant the crops when the weather is thus. I guarantee you that every year, Tim and them sell tomato plants and pepper plants and things that can be destroyed by frost, sell it to the same person two or three times. A little warm weather and they, all of us gets excited and we want to stick something in the ground. Those old ones, they had nothing but watching and observing and taking what they had been given and applying it to their day. And they could rightly know when to put what in the ground. Now, a lot of folks say, well, that's just old wives' tales. You honestly think so? Or you can't tell? If that is wives' tales, why did the Lord say to the hypocrites and the Pharisees, you say, and you say rightly, that the sky is red in the evening and you're going to have fair weather tomorrow. But if in the morning you see the sky red and lowering, you're going to have foul weather that day. He said, you rightly discern. You know enough about what will be tomorrow and what's going to be today by looking at things around you. You discern rightly. But he condemned them. You can't discern the signs of the time. Do well with weather and planning. But what's going on around you and the signs that are being fulfilled right before your eyes, they don't mean a thing to you. The secret of the Lord, Proverbs 25:14, is with them that fear him. I want to know how the Spirit is moving today. I'm very anxious to know the movements tomorrow and next week and next month. In general. And God said, okay, you fear my name, and I'll let you in on the secret of the Lord. You remember in Acts 21. There was a certain old prophet that came down, and when he got in a room with the Jews, he took a man's girdle, that outside garment, and he bound it on his own hands, and he said, so shall the Jews do to the man that owns this girdle, this garment. Everybody knew it's Paul, and they tried to get him not to go. Don't weep and break my heart. God lets his people know. You say, but there are no prophets today. That is true in the sense of God is not giving any new revelation. When John closed the Revelation, chapter 22, that was the end of everything according to what would be. And you got it right here in this book. And Amos 3 said, surely the Lord won't do anything without him revealing his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. There are no prophets as far as somebody coming up with some new revelation of what God said or add to this. Like finding certain books under a tree and beginning a whole new denomination. Not of God. But in another sense, a prudent individual discerns the times that he or she lives in. You don't have to have news from across the ocean. You out there, you hear people talking, you know what's going on. You know where we're headed. You know what lies just around the corner. for all of us in this nation. That's not because you have an excellent mind, and it's not because that God has given you a great discernment. It's just because God enables, and I use the word discern here, not like before, enables a crafty, a sensible, a subtle man that wants to know what this book said and what God's doing. God will give him discernment. Reading the book, talking with the Lord, and observing things that are going on. And in that sense, God has many prophets today. Two of the greatest harms that have ever been done to the church in the last 200 years was, number one, the introduction of dispensationalism. That is, when one man came along and he divided your Bible up into seven different dispensations. That before the flood, that after the flood, that only to the Jews in the four Gospels, that to the church from Acts on. There is no such thing. But these that followed this man in Revelation 4, they said, all right, that's the end of it for the church. She's raptured. And she won't be here anymore. So from Revelation 4, 1 on to the rest of the Bible, it has nothing to say about or to God's church. And because we all were absorbed or absorbed this series of books, even movies came out on the Left Behind. Everybody left behind when the rapture occurred and they were not ready to go meet the Lord. And the interstates be chaos because the bus drivers would be taken away. And airplanes crashing because the pilot was a Christian and he was taken away in the rapture. Nothing from Matthew through John is for the Gentiles. Even the Sermon on the Mount, this man said, was solely for the Jews and had nothing to do with the people of God. Now, I want you to look with me to Revelation chapter 6. We know what's going on by that which has been, by discerning the signs around us and studying the scriptures. In Revelation chapter 6, You've got a man on a white horse. That's what John saw. But see, this is not for you. According to those that gave us certain Bibles. And the awful judgment of God that began in chapter 4 after the church was raptured throughout The awful judgment, it's not for the Christians. It's just for the lost folk. And the pastors in my early years and the evangelists, they would come around to the churches with their big charts and their graphs. They pinpoint all these seven different dispensations in the Bible and would have you convinced that they could almost tell you when the Lord Jesus would come back. They were proud of their brilliant minds, convincing all of us, the younger ones, that they understood the end times. And they presented to us, sadly, I, as a young preacher for the first 3 or 4 years, was under this. They presented to us their teachings. And took Revelation 4 on away from us. Well, you get to chapter 6. And before I proceed, let me set before you the second greatest harm done to the very churches of God in the 1800s. Was an anxious seat invented for folks to come down to the front and they could be saved. And the noted evangelist Nettleton finally met with Mr. Finney and he warned him, "All right, I won't argue there might be some good results in the anxious seat, but this is what it will become." And he accurately told him what the next and following generations would have to deal with. And you've all seen it in evangelistic services by the raising of hands or the signing of a card that you have accepted Jesus. That sprang from the anxious seat. But a prudent man sees the evil in all of it. Now here in Revelation 6, when the gospel, when the Lord Jesus, that white horse rider, has gone out conquering the hearts of all his children, of all those given to him, conquering them. Verse 2, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him." You say, but he was Jesus. He was the Son of Man also. And all power was given unto him at the conclusion of death and then resurrection. A crown was given unto him and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost." That's gone. That's not happening today. The gospel declared today has absolutely no power behind it. When's the last time that you saw one very anxious about his eternal soul? Now, when this white horse rider has gone out conquering the hearts of all that his Father gave him in eternity, the elect of God, by the work of the Spirit, they were brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus. And all those given when the gospel with power came to their hearts, they bowed. And now that the power of the gospel has left us, and the gospel has accomplished its purpose, well, there remains. In Isaiah 17, there remains the gleaning of the grapes left. Two or three olive berries in the top of the uppermost boughs, and four or five in the outmost fruitful branches. You and I got in on this thing as one of those in the uppermost branches, the outermost, uppermost bough. And all our lifetime, the red horse rider has been following this one. Verse 4. And there was given to him that set their own power to take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Anybody sensible in reading that of where we are? Cities burned to the ground. Men and women murdered. Red horse rider. And then there's the third in verse 5. A black horse. Well, now what follows this horse? Verse 6, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. You will buy a little amount of wheat for a day's labor. You say, we're not there yet. The prudent man sees where we're going. Famine. That's the third one. And then lastly, in verse 7, verse 8, a pale horse. And he that set their own was death and hell brought behind him. For they followed him. That's where we are. But let's go to chapter 9 here in this. And you'll see the results of these riders. Revelation 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Can anybody figure out who that is, that star? If you have not, I'll tell you, Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? You were that bright one, along with Michael and Gabriel, the archangels. All three of them had their responsibilities. Gabriel was a messenger, angel, messenger. Michael was the angel with the sword. Lucifer was the one that had the responsibility given him as that covering angel. He was to watch after the Son of Man. He's not going to do that. Look at his beauty. Probably the most glorious being that the Godhead created. And God said, you're the covering angel. Nope. Not going to do that. So he brought a third of the angels with him when he was cast out for refusing his responsibility. And the key was given. If he moves, he moves on God's chain. If he does that which he does, it is with the freedom God has given him. If he disrupts the world as the red and the black and the pale horse ride through our land, they do so under the will of God. You would not receive my son. You turn my gospel into that which in no way resembles the true gospel of the Lord Jesus. So, Mr. Fallen Star, here's a key. And with that, he was able to open the bottomless pit. And then smoke arose, verse 2, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened. Sean was telling me, and I don't remember what day it was, that they canceled the Little League games. Call them off there in Milton, some 600 miles away from the fire. Or 800, I think 600. And they couldn't have outdoor activities because of the smoke and pollution. But what do you think we're breathing in every day? That bottomless pit open. Locusts in verse 3 come out. Hordes of locusts. Power given as a scorpion of the earth have power. You don't touch, verse 4. You don't hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, nor trees. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Children, don't be looking for some physical number of 666. Can't take that. Won't be able to buy bread. That won't be. Those men that aren't carrying the seal of God in their foreheads, then kill them. Get rid of them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Matthew 23:15. You compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you've made him twofold more the child of hell. Number one, he was dead. and he was going to hell if God in power did not raise him under the preaching of the gospel. Boy, you've made him twice the child of hell in that you have given him assurance that he's saved. You can't do that to another human being. I dare not do it. And all this is taking place in our lifetime. A prudent man sees it. And now that man that was dead, that the scribes and Pharisees compassed land and sea just to give him a little bit of truth. And with that little bit of truth, they've made him twofold more the child of hell. A prudent man foresees. And all these false converts from the well-known evangelist have been placed in that great religious system called a harlot. And they're already small signs of the beast getting rid of the whore on its back. One last, Revelation 17. Revelation 17, last sentence. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the waters. You do not have to guess. Verse 15 tells you what the waters are. The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the harlot is over nations and multitude of people. And all the many with different tongues. But because of dispensationalism and because of easy believism that came out of the anxious seat invented. Church had never heard, never known anything about an altar call until the 1800s. But because of dispensations, different ones, Revelation 6, 9, and 17 are not for us. And they've done us great harm. All the while, the great whore is spreading her skirt over multitudes. Now verse 4 in chapter 17. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. You know that can't be literal. And you know that her arrayed in purple and scarlet royalty is not literal. Her decked with gold and precious stones. She's gotten wealthy, very wealthy. over the last 150 years. And where do you think she got all these riches? You think it came from her out there peddling her false gospel and winning souls to her false teaching and preaching? You think she got wealth from those? She got wealth from the beast. She didn't have to pay taxes. And she could take all that came into the churches and stick that in businesses and corporations. And she's got those in our land. And the beast is getting tired of her robbing it. Now look at verse 9 and 10 here in chapter 17. And here's the mind which hath wisdom, talking about the seven mountains, those high structures, those elevated places. The seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And then there are, go on and read it, seven kings, five are fallen, one is. Verse 12, 10 horns and 10 kings. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. Now in chapter 18, I may be wearying you with a little here. This harlot, verse 5 of 17, is called Mystery Babylon. The 10 kings, or those 10 horns upon those mountains, they decided, we're getting tired of giving her all this wealth and her taking advantage, riding our backs. And they hate the whore. 16, verse 16 in chapter 17. And now 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of unclean and hateful birds. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You remember where Babylon had its beginning? Genesis 11, and all those got together and said, why don't we make us a tower whose top reacheth unto heaven, a city and a tower whose top reacheth unto heaven. Get rid of the narrow path. Get rid of the one and only door. Get rid of everybody that contradicts our teachings. And our mother country and lands were were lighted at night by human bodies, the old servants, men and women of God, that denounced this harlot, burned them alive, beheaded them, threw them in the lion's den. 1600s, even into the 1700s. You think this is far off? I've been a prudent man, one observing the times, one seeing the little things that are happening. And a prudent man is not solely the preacher. It's every member of the congregation. You think it's far off in our land? The beast is tired of her on its back and going to get rid of her. Our neighboring country to the north has jailed those last year and this year that were outside abortion clinics praying. Didn't harm a soul. In our own land, arrest warrants have been issued by our Department of Justice for praying or passing out tracts or witnessing in front of abortion clinics where millions of the little innocent ones have lost their lives. And one asked the head of our Justice Department, how is it that you caught all these, or caught many of these, that were protesting in front of the abortion clinics, and you weren't able to find those that have been destroying buildings of the pro-life centers? How is it? And this man, with supposedly his intelligence, said, well, they do it in the dark. We can't find the pro-lifers. They're doing it in the daytime. Folk, that's a slam to the average mind. You think that a country as powerful as this, that's able to take out heads of organization, terrorists, and heads of government thousands of miles away, you think we can't find somebody because they did it in the dark? They're just after Christians. They don't want to find those. Beast coming after the religious organizations. And a prudent man knows what's just around the corner. For your children will be in the midst of all this. You yourself under me, you will see this ripening more and more. But the prudent man foresees, and he hides himself. That doesn't mean he quit work. That doesn't mean he built some monastery where he could go hide. No. He goes on. He does what he's supposed to do as a citizen. And you, gifted with great intelligence, using the discernment that the Lord has given you over the years and regarding the signs of the time, birds flying south before ever 1 degree drops on the thermometer here. Boy, winter must be early this year. Leaves are falling mighty early. Gonna have a rough winter. He hides himself. Noah knew. Well, God told him. And for 120 years he preached. But he couldn't find a prudent, wise man listened and heard him. Noah, I will destroy the earth. Noah believed God, moved with fear, and built the ark. And children, dear Christians, you've got your head under a blanket if you don't think that the judgment of God is already at work in these states. Mothers sacrificing their unborn. You can go back and read in Scripture. Fathers would even put their firstborn through fires to sacrifice to their God. What's the difference in what we're doing today? Judgment of God about us. Our country is quickly becoming the tail instead of the head of all other nations. And moms and dads allowing their little boys and their little girls, if they run through something at school, or if they run, their best friend says, "I don't think I'm a girl, I want to be a boy," or "I don't think I was meant to be a boy." 5 and 6, 7 year olds are permitted to take these puberty blockers and undergo horrible operations. You boys here today, God made you a boy. And He made these a girl. And for you to walk carelessly, knowing the world won't be destroyed again by flood, but it's going to be destroyed by fire. It is the height of stupidity to keep on going, acting as if there is nothing wrong. Prudence sees evil ahead, and the prudent man or woman that foreseeth hides himself. And so you, I hope, being prudent, you are prudent, you know a little, you had to believe a little of what I've told you today. You know that the wrath and vengeance of God is upon a nation that has destroyed God in its vocabulary. And made fun of and mockery of the Lord Jesus. Get rid of God in schools. Get rid of God in the states' capitals, in the nation's capital. You know, this is around us. And folk, if you were out in an open field and the winds kept increasing and the dark, dark cloud in the western sky began increasing and moving in your direction, and you could see the lightning maybe 50 miles away, well, it won't get to me. I think you have more sense than stay out there watching it get closer and you can find a covering. Providence will bring you to a hiding place. All of us will have a load of guilt upon us at the judgment unless we find a hiding place, one that is our rock, and one that is able to hide us in the cleft of the rock, and the one that is our head, and would say to you today, come. You won't have to face him with a load of guilt. But children, there's but one hiding place for that. It's not the whore's gospel. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And please don't be simple-minded or foolish and wait too late. As those banging on that ark, clinging to it as much as they could, pleading for Noah to open the door. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. That was Noah's hiding place. Yours is Calvary. And young ones, if you don't get in Christ, you don't find him as Savior, you're going to live on an earth that hell has moved a topside. Revelation 9, the bottomless pit was open. Well, I've got good news for every one of you today that'll bow and flee to the Lord Jesus.